food toys before they become a recall problem.
The commission's report to the president calls for added clout for the Food and Drug Administration.
The FDA would be empowered to order a recall when a company refuses to recall their product voluntarily or moves too slowly in removing the unsafe product from the market.
The Presidential Commission also wants a dramatic increase in U.S. agents and inspectors in major exporting countries. They would check for defects before products reach the U.S. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
At the Center for Science and the Public Interest, the folks nicknamed the Food Police, Attorney Sarah Klein.
It's disappointing to see that the working group didn't recommend a single food agency or any kind of streamlining beyond just a bland recommendation that the agencies cooperate. That is kind of the least that they should be doing.
She says the government also needs to spend some money for staff to get the inspection and the enforcement jobs done. Speaking of products, oil and gasoline in the marketplace. Oil hit a new record, $96.70 a barrel, up nearly $3 today. Gasoline is rising fast, too.
Many of us have already seen increases at our local pumps of 20 to 25 cents, but we do have another 15, 20, or 25 cent increases coming any minute now.
That's oil analyst Peter Butel. Gasoline at the wholesale level closed today at about $2.44 a gallon. Seven more TV shows will be going to reruns sooner because of the ongoing writers' strike. And this is just the second day. Live now to Los Angeles, CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Harley, the strike is already having an impact on a number of weekly primetime programs, including the hit show Desperate Housewives. That show will end production tomorrow. There are only enough episodes currently filmed to last until Christmas. Among other programs reportedly halting production, CBS's Two and a Half Men, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and Fox's Till Death. Live in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Producers and companies like CBS say the writers are just asking too much from revenues still to come from digital media. It's a water bill with everything from flood relief in the Midwest to levee infrastructure in the Gulf states, which President Bush vetoed, saying it was peppered with earmarks. It'll be the first veto overridden on the Hill. Louisiana Congressman Charles Bustani.
I urge all colleagues to support this bill, support an override of the presidential veto.
That vote is underway right now. Tens of thousands of young Chinese women competed to be part of the pool. Only 30 young beauties were chosen based on their kindness, thought, good taste, and drop-dead gorgeous appearance. The goal was to meet 20 of China's wealthiest men, who each paid $8,000 to attend a matchmaking red carpet party at a huge villa near Shanghai. On Wall Street, the Dow up 117 points. The Nasdaq gained 30 on the day. This is CBS News.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and U handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
China demanded information from Yahoo. They handed it over, and a critical journalist went to jail. Oops.
Yahoo General Counsel Mike Callahan insisted his firm didn't know revealing a user's name to the Chinese government would lead to his arrest.
We did not know the case related to a journalist. We didn't know it was dissident activity, and we did not know that this was a political case.
At the committee chair's urging, Yahoo CEO Jerry Yang addressed the arrested journalist's family in the hearing room.
I want to personally apologize.
But Chairman Tom Lantos wasn't impressed that Yahoo would change its course dealing with oppressive governments.
While technologically and financially you are giants, morally, you are pygmies.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
How cool is this for a three-year-old boy? Grandpa, what's that? Asked Caleb Kidd near La Crosse, Wisconsin. Looked like an unusual rock. What it is, once chewed food in the giant mouth of a woolly mammoth. The Archaeology Center at the university confirmed it. It weighs about 2 pounds, 10 to 30,000 years old. Mammoth tooth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes...
Lunch all day.
Me too. Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips for your cookie.
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine?
An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way.
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way.
Two cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way.
Aww. More Ovaltine, please.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We have a lot to talk about and only 3 hours to talk. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? We'll devote our first hour today to the discussion of impeachment. As promised, Dennis Kucinich introduced a privileged resolution calling for the impeachment of Vice President Cheney on the House floor today. We'll get a reaction from a Republican, Bruce Fine, and from a Democratic activist, David Swanson, in this coming hour. Also on today's program, Brett Kavanaugh from VelvetRevolution.us is offering a $500,000 reward if a whistleblower will come forward. We'll tell you what that's about. And Brett has a first-person account of being waterboarded, and he is submitted to other forms of torture as well. We'll get his account of what it feels like. Go! And whether Judge Mukasey just doesn't understand what waterboarding means. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org checks in and talks about Dick Cheney's nuclear ambitions. I'll give you a hint. False power plants, not bombs. And Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington will be here to kick off the free speech zone. Brent Wilkes has been convicted. He's the contractor who bribed Duke Cunningham. And Cunningham didn't even have to take the stand to complete the circle there. Melanie will update us on that. And also Congressman Jack Murthas. Earmarks. He is number one in defense appropriation earmarks, and it's kind of an ugly story. We'll tell you about that and get the details from Melanie. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can join the conversation anytime, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And my email's working, too. Drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Bruce Fine returns to our program today. He is a constitutional lawyer who served in the Reagan administration as a deputy attorney general. He also was general counsel at the Federal Communications Commission. He was one of the leaders of the effort to impeach Bill Clinton, and he supports the impeachment of Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. Bruce Fine, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate your clear convictions and strong point of view. Before we get to the impeachment issues, I wanted to get your thoughts on the way the Judiciary Committee in the Senate has shifted, and with support of Chuck Schumer of New York and Dianne Feinstein of California, the Mukasey nomination was sent to the Senate floor where it's likely to be confirmed. What are your thoughts? Do you think that he will help prepare the Justice Department, or do you think that the issues of presidential power up to and including the use of torture really countenance against his confirmation?
Well, I characterize the Senate submission here as a demonstration of effeteness. It's the last nail in the coffin of the Congress as being relevant. Mr. Mukasey endorsed every Bush usurpation, ranging from flouting the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, presidential signing statements, enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay and use of military commissions, use of executive privilege to deny congressional oversight, kidnapping, interrogating, and imprisoning suspected al-Qaeda abroad without any legal or political review. Everything that President Bush has claimed post 9/11 to justify his asserted kingship, Mukasey endorsed, and the Senate Judiciary Committee gives its stamp of approval. It is now basically an irrelevancy unless there is some future Congress that has the manliness to stand up to a president and says, no, this is the United States of America where there are checks and balances on all branches of government, whether you claim we're at war or not, and that includes the president. But I view this as sort of the crossing of the Rubicon of the president into a state of virtual domination of the other branches of government.
Yeah. Well, I share your thoughts, and you put it very eloquently. As I heard you saying that, Bruce Spine, I just wish that the term senator was in front of your name.
Well, I was up in campaigning in the Senate of the United States with all members of the Judiciary Committee, and all I could say was exasperation at how feeble their belief was that they had any power to affect the course of events. One of the things very graphic to me, having been 40 years in Washington, is that the members now don't even take themselves seriously. They don't feel sobered by the knowledge that they actually have power under the Constitution and should be accountable for their exercise of it. All of them, Democrats, Republicans, instinctively yield to the president, and you can see the result.
And, Bruce Spine, what do you make? Perhaps you saw this op-ed in today's New York Times, penned by Chuck Schumer, at least his name is on it. He said, should we reject Judge Mukasey, President Bush has said he would install an acting caretaker attorney general who could serve for the rest of his term without the advice and consent of the Senate. To accept such an unaccountable attorney general, I believe, would be to surrender the department to the extreme ideology of Vice President Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, David Addington. All the work we did to pressure Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign would be undone in a moment. Isn't that a crock?
Well, yes, it is. Palsied, hypocrisy. I mean, that's so unpersuasive. It's worse to have the Senate of the United States endorse and give its stamp of approval to usurpations, which makes the Supreme Court of the United States likely to uphold them, than it is to say, no, we're rebuking the president. He may choose to have an acephalous Department of Justice for the remaining of term, but that's his choice, not ours, and the American people can make a judgment as to whether it was Bush or the Congress who got the Constitution right. I agree with your evaluation. It was a crock, and if ever a showing was needed that the Democrats have become as enfeebled and spineless as the Republicans, that op-ed piece was it.
Well, and we have this senator from California, Feinstein, who announced on Friday that she would support the Mukasey nomination. And keep in mind, the vote was 11-8. Schumer and Feinstein put this vote over the top. And she said that the only reason she was voting for him is that he's not Alberto Gonzalez.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a low threshold. Almost anyone, even your puppy dog or cat, could satisfy that kind of standard. And she's almost saying, well, she would vote for the puppy dog or the cat or the sheep. That is not the standard that we ought to hold cabinet officers to, and certainly not when, by voting in favor of the candidate, you're endorsing a gross distortion of the Constitution of the United States, the exact Constitution that Senator Feinstein took an oath to uphold. That is superior to any other oath that she has as a senator, and in my judgment, she violated it when she confessed the standard that she used in order to vote for Mr. Mukasey.
Yeah, it's beyond disappointing. It really is. It's the kind of thing that makes us wonder if they really know what their oaths of office represent, Bruce Spine.
Well, you're exactly right, and I would submit that only a tiny fraction of the members of the House or the Senate have ever read the Constitution, and a tinier fraction still have actually thought about it and understand it. Its philosophy and the obligations it imposes upon every officer, including every member of the Senate, to put the Constitution and the country ahead of petty personal ambitions or party. That's what Article 6 of the Constitution says. Everyone who serves in the government has an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Not the Republican Party, not the Democrat Party, not campaign finance, but the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And when you vote in favor of an attorney general who endorses every usurpation that Bush has undertaken since 9/11, you are not supporting the Constitution.
And Bruce Fine, this underscores the importance of the work that you and others have started at the American Freedom Agenda. The website is AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. And describe for us briefly the points of the pledge. There are 10 items here that you have identified. You've asked presidential candidates to sign on to them. And as far as I know, Ron Paul is still the only one who has pledged to support all 10 of your points. Is that correct?
We actually have an addition. I had a meeting with Dennis Kucinich of Ohio on the Democrat side, and he has signed as well. So we've increased by 100%. So we're in an upward trajectory. But the 10 points are: one, abandoning the use of military commissions, which combine judge, jury, and prosecutor; abandoning the detention of American citizens as enemy combatants without any trial at Guantanamo Bay or otherwise; abandoning the claim that the president can violate limitations on spying on us by inherent Article II power; abandoning presidential signing statements that are the equivalent of absolute line-item vetoes that the Supreme Court has held unconstitutional; abandoning interpretation of the Espionage Act to seek prosecution of newspapers for publishing national security abuses; abandoning the claims of executive privilege or secrecy that prevent Congress from exercising oversight; abandoning the so-called state secrets privilege that prevent victims of constitutional wrongdoing from recovering damages against government officials who have perpetrated the wrongdoing; abandoning the listing of individuals and groups as terrorist organizations based upon secret evidence that they have no opportunity to confront. These are the gist of an American freedom agenda that would seek to restore the Constitution and the equilibrium between our liberties and checks and balances that were envisioned by the Founding Fathers, who I submit were endowed with about a 5,000 times more cerebral capacity and wisdom than the current crop that occupies the White House and Congress. We ought to pay deference to wisdom.
Yes, indeed. Again, AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. It's a very powerful approach. It's bipartisan. And as you've heard, Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul, presidential candidates, have both signed on to it. And just for reference, Bruce Fine is a counsel. He serves as counsel to the Ron Paul campaign, which had a huge fundraising day yesterday on the Internet, set a brand new record of something like $5 million. Is that right?
I think it was between $4 and $5 million. I want to clarify my role as counsel. I've agreed to represent Mr. Paul on ballot questions where there may be difficulty in getting names printed based upon certain requirements of popular support in order to gain ballot access. But that's the extent of it. It's just in the legal capacity. I'm in no sense involved in the political campaign.
Understood. We're going to take a break and return to talk about the impeachment battle on Capitol Hill today. Bruce Fine is our guest. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Bye.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
The Direct Action Task Force Against Torture will be holding a three-day teach-in and vigil from Friday, November 16th through Sunday, November 18th. This event calls for an immediate end to the use of torture by any country. The teach-in and vigil will be held outside the gates to the Presidio of Monterey at Private Bolio Road and Lighthouse Avenue. The event is free and open to the public. For information and schedule, our website is peacemonterey.org or call 831-643-2705.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where impeachment has always been on the table. And it didn't get tabled. We continue now with Bruce Fine, an activist who wants to return us to constitutional rule. And despite his Republican background, he's quite willing to criticize power grabs and law-breaking by members of his own party. Bruce Fine, today Dennis Kucinich followed through and submitted this privileged resolution, and immediately the leadership of the House, with the the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, in the lead, tried to table the measure, which is a parliamentary technique to just stop it in its tracks. And then the surprise is that Republicans in the House started voting against the measure to table. Now, I have not been able to get the latest information. Do you know what ultimately did happen?
My understanding is 122 Republicans and 69 Democrats voted against tabling the measure. I think the Republicans saw that this could be a wedge issue into the Democratic ranks and therefore wanted to push this to a floor vote, which would divide the Democrats and perhaps unify the Republicans, and that explains what seems like an odd lineup.
It does, and they're playing with fire, wouldn't you say?
I think the overall effort by the House leadership to table the measure indicates how effete and intellectually corrupt they have become. After all, the Speaker cannot wipe out the Article 2, Section 4 authority to impeach the President, Vice President, and other officers of the United States for high crimes and misdemeanors. The argument in favor of tabling wasn't that they're not impeachable offenses. The arguments that Speaker Pelosi has unbosomed are, well, it wouldn't be good for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee all the audience, you can read the Constitution forwards and backwards, and it says nothing about loyalty to the Democratic Party, where it says volumes about loyalty to the Constitution and removing persons who have exercised such a sneering contempt for the rule of law and checks and balances that they can't be trusted for the reins of power.
Yeah.
And I think this particular vote here shows that the Democrats in November have betrayed their at least tacit representations to the American people that they would change things.
I find it very disappointing. Bruce Fine, I did agree to let you go at 25 after we're there. If you need to leave right now, say so. If not, we can continue, but I don't want to impose.
I'm grateful for your accommodation. I do have to get to another meeting, but
please
invite me on again.
I sure will, and thank you for your blunt and courageous comments.
Thank you.
My Bye-bye. Pleasure. That's Bruce Fine, and as you heard, he has to go along to another meeting. But it is so interesting to hear a staunch conservative Republican like Bruce Fine, and it makes some of my listeners uncomfortable, I know it does, to reference that he was part of the team that led the impeachment battle against President Bill Clinton. Now, I don't think that that was a wise use of the impeachment power, but I always have to concede that Bill Clinton gave them the rope and the noose and the whole hangman's apparatus that they sprung on him. And that's water under the bridge, over the dam, whatever you'd like to say. But here today, Bruce Fine stands up for the Constitution and is equally critical of those who affirmatively violate it, like Cheney and Bush, and those who fail to heed it, like Pelosi and Reid. And yesterday we heard the same comments from independent Senator Bernie Sanders right here on this program. Why are we bereft of leadership based solely on our Constitution? As I was discussing with a caller yesterday, I understand the calculus the Democrats use to say, ooh, that impeachment thing, it could backfire on us and we could lose control of the House and the Senate and maybe not win the White House next year. We got to play it safe. Well, I don't support that. And I just don't think it's wise. I believe if the Democrats adhered to the Constitution and made it clear that it isn't personal, it's not because they hate Bush or any of that falderal, that the real reason to pursue Dennis Kucinich's H.Res. 333 is to maintain our constitutional form of government, to maintain the power that is rightfully invested in the Congress that has not been properly exercised, first under Republican rule and now under Democratic rule. And it's shameful to see Steny Hoyer try to table it, and even more shameful to see the Republicans think that this is an opportunity for them to score points and to divide the Democrats, to confuse the American people, to play a kind of dare you game with the imperial presidency. And I think that we have no winners today and a lot of losers. The Republicans lose by a shameless effort to exploit the divide between the Democrats. And the Democrats lose by not uniting and standing up behind Dennis Kucinich and supporting the rule of law and the supremacy of our Constitution. We're going to get more on this from David Swanson of ImpeachCheney.org. He'll be joining us right after the break here. Call me with your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by great-tasting Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Charles Osgood. The airlines had a lot more on-time flights and a lot less lost baggage in the month of September. Is that because they got their acts together? No, says David Field of Airline Business Magazine.
The main reason why things are getting better is, A, we had good weather in September, and B, we had fewer fires.
Seasonal, says David Stempler of the Air Travelers Association.
It's hard to tell from month to month, but clearly this was marks the end of the summer period, and the real crush on airplanes came down a bit, so that, I think, reflects the fall season numbers.
More after this for Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I love its buttery taste and the kind of nutrition it stands for. It's naturally trans-fat-free, has no hydrogenated oils, and it's an excellent source of ALA omega-3s. And Smart Balance's taste is so great, it won the Chef's Best Award for Best Taste awarded to the brand rated highest overall among leading vegetable oil spreads by independent professional chefs. So, if you're looking for great buttery taste and a spread you'll feel good about, try Smart Balance.
The 60s defied convention, from fashion to music to cereal. Take Total, the very first cereal with 100% of 11 vitamins and minerals. Today, only Total cereal has 100% daily value of calcium to support a healthy body and an antioxidant to support a healthy mind. Plus, with new flavors like Cranberry Crunch, it tastes amazing. It won't change the world, just how the world eats breakfast. Total, for mind and body.
After Labor Day, which came early this year, briefcases replaced the golf clubs and it was back to business on the airlines.
Flying after Labor Day tends to drop off very dramatically in terms of the number of folks, and you also get far fewer vacation or first-time flyers. You tend to get back to business travelers.
Business flyers are used to the hassles. The rest of us have to be that way, too, as we are with traffic jams and construction backups all year long, says David Stempler.
Much like we have problems with our bridges and highways and tunnels, we now have problems with our aviation infrastructure. So this is something that the flying public just has to get used to.
Now, of course, we have Thanksgiving to look forward to. The turkey with all the trimmings, the joy of feasting with family and dear friends, and the dread of getting there.
Thanksgiving is almost always like the worst day of the summer, an absolute disaster. I think the only prospect for smooth flying this Thanksgiving is that Congress has already begun imposing pressure.
Nothing like pressure from Congress to make things go smoothly. Here's David Stempler's advice.
Expect to be delayed. Prepare for the worst, but hope for the best, and bring stuff, snacks and beverages you get after the security checkpoint, plenty of reading matter, and some way to contact people up ahead that tell them you might be late.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Sales rep to women.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Music from Columbus, Ohio, scene of the crime in 2004. That's Victrola and the Dust Bunnies, another fascist day. Well, Dennis Kucinich has enough courage for perhaps the entire Democratic leadership, and they should emulate him and take notes. He followed through today and introduced his privilege resolution calling for the impeachment of Vice President Cheney. David Swanson joins us now. He's been on the front lines of this impeachment assault for a long, long time. And there is a live blog, if you'd like to see it, at impeachcheney.org, which gives you, with time markings, the play-by-play of the events on the House floor today. David, welcome back.
Good to be here, Peter. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm trying to figure all this out. Why don't we start at the end? The ultimate outcome so far, as of 4:41 Washington time, is that a motion passed to send this privileged resolution to the Judiciary Committee with only 5 Democrats voting against it. So that gives us a sense that it is still alive. But we've seen that John Conyers has, investigated these issues but declined to move forward with impeachment, even though it was within his purview and within the powers vested in him as chair of the Judiciary Committee. So is this a vote to kill the bill by sending it to Judiciary, in your opinion?
On the part of most of those Congress members who voted that way, yes. And, of course, it already was in Judiciary Committee. But I think maybe a few things have been gained. One is the prominence and the media and the fact that people are aware of the bill and that it's been sent to Judiciary Committee. That's new. The other is that earlier in this ordeal, you had 86 Democrats vote the right way when there was less pressure from Pelosi and Hoyer not to. That's a strong showing of support for impeachment that many people have been unaware of. And third, you have Congressman Kucinich now on a roll, eager to reintroduce similar resolutions against both Cheney and Bush and keep pushing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of that is helpful, but nonetheless, it's disappointing to see the Republicans go on the offensive today and see the Democrats come down to 5 members willing to really challenge the leadership.
Yeah. Now, David, take us back in time to the point where Kucinich introduced this, and then the big surprise as Steny Hoyer, who is the number 2 to Pelosi, he tried to move to table it. As that vote was underway, Republicans started changing their votes, seeing an opportunity to divide and embarrass the Democrats.
And it's possible they saw that opportunity to begin with, but held off until partway through the vote to allow some Democrats to vote no. And then the Democrats would have had to switch, and their leadership would have had to act faster. But in any case, partway through, the bulk of the Republicans switched to voting no on tabling. They wanted a debate. You saw Congressman Boehner stand up and ask for a debate. Presumably, they want to go after the Democrats for daring to impeach a vice president in a time of war, and they want to see the Democratic leaders stand up and defend Vice President Cheney against impeachment. And how the debate, if we got a debate, would have gone would have depended greatly on whether Kucinich was in charge of the floor for the Democrats or the leadership was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was remarkable to see the Republicans going on the offensive. You almost thought the Democrats were going to start switching their votes.
It's a very dangerous move on the part of the Republicans. It's a truth or dare kind of a game, and it certainly could backfire on them, but they seem secure in the knowledge of 2 things. One, that the Democrats would not unify behind Dennis Kucinich's bill, and number 2, that no oral sex is involved, therefore there's no impeachable offense.
That's right, and they're sure that the Democrats will cave and play only defense. They're sure that they can go on the attack, and no one will challenge them.
And it just boggles my mind, David, because even given all of the history right up to this point, if Pelosi had been a little wiser, she could have seized this opportunity and said, okay, I was wrong. We got 86 people saying that I was wrong in my caucus. And instead of standing in the way of this, I'll get out of the way and just say, I don't endorse it, but let the will of the body guide this instead of my preconceived notion that this has to be, quote unquote, off the damn table.
Yeah, you'd think that Pelosi and Hoyer would at least want an hour of Bush bashing debate, Cheney bashing debate on the floor, even if it nothing came of it. But the problem with that for them is that the evidence is so overwhelming that Cheney has committed impeachable offenses. And, if the Republicans got a debate on this, it very well might backfire on them, because to put this in the news and to get people talking about it is to make the case so apparent. And so I think Pelosi and Hoyer's top priority in all of this is avoiding impeachment at all costs, and therefore avoiding debate and discussion of it at all costs.
Yeah. Fascinating maneuvers there in Washington today. Let's take a call. Ken in Sacramento joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with David Swanson. Go ahead, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I think this is actually the seminal moment of the last 8 years, because now we've gotten to the point where we can really move beyond the view of Republican or Democrat. We're looking at constitutionalists versus royalists and corporatists. We finally get a chance to see who are the cowards and those who have guts. If this thing makes it to the floor, we will know where everybody stands. And whatever change we need to make from there, we can begin to pick who we need to remove. So I actually think today there's no winners and there's no losers, but there's a moment of clarity.
Well, I think you make a very strong point there, particularly your comment there about separating the royalists from the constitutionalists.
That's absolutely it. This is a constitutional republic. This is not a kingdom.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken.
You got it.
Pithy remark. I appreciate it. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to offer a comment or ask a question, 888-573-8372. David, you were preceded on the program today by Bruce Fein. I'm sure you're aware of him. He served in the Reagan administration. He was one of the cheerleaders for the impeachment of Bill Clinton. But to his credit, he really views the Constitution as the guiding document here, and is trying to hold both the Bush-Cheney administration accountable to it, as well as the leaders of Congress. And to hear his voice so clear and so blunt describe both the failures of the Democrats and the failures of the Republicans, we talked about the Mukasey deal as well, was refreshing. But also, he spoke in a manner that made me, you know, want to see him in the United States Senate, irrespective of his conservatism and his party loyalties.
Well, he would certainly be a huge step forward over most of the senators there now, because he puts the rule of law and our Constitution ahead of loyalty to Bush and Cheney, and that's remarkable. He seems to think there are a couple dozen Republican House members who would go along with impeachment if Pelosi led on it, and he may be right, but he seems to think it's perfectly understandable that no Republican will step forward in absence of Pelosi taking the lead, and I wish that were not true, because if we could add to the 22 sponsoring Kucinich's bill, even one or two or three Republicans, even Ron Paul, who used to be for impeachment before he ran for president, it would help tremendously.
Yeah. Walter Jones didn't step up?
Nope, absolutely not. He has stepped up on Iraq and Iran, but not on impeachment. And you know, a bill like Walter Jones to demand that the president get congressional approval before attacking Iran will simply be vetoed by the president. And maybe then Walter Jones will see the light. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Now, David, again, I want to direct people to impeachcheney.org, because if you click on the link to the live blog, it really lays out the events of the day for us. And for a moment here, I want to focus on this list of the 86 Democrats who voted the right way. They voted against tabling the measure, correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Notably, it includes John Conyers, the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Do you read anything into that? Was that a straightforward vote on the question at hand, or was it a statement from Conyers that, hey, I'd like to see support for this to empower me to move forward, in the face of the refusal of the Speaker?
Well, one thing you don't know is which of these Congress members voted when in the course of an hour and 10 minutes, because I certainly noticed that once the yay votes for tabling had reached 218, so that it looked like it was going to be tabled, a great many Democrats piled on with no votes. So these are no votes with the assurance that the no's were going to lose. And then the Republicans flipped and all went to no votes, and most, if not all, of the Democrats kept their no votes. Now, when it came to crunch time, should we send it to committee, or should we bring it up and have a debate? Conyers was not among the five heroes who voted the right way.
And those are Filner of San Diego, Marcy Kaptur, where's she from? Ohio?
Yes.
Kaptur of Ohio, Kucinich of Ohio, Waters of California, and Watson of California.
Yes, and well, there were actually two votes within a couple minutes of each other, and on the other one, Watson was not there, but Ed Towns was.
Okay.
I can't explain it. But
mm-hmm.
So those six individuals took extraordinary steps, but 86 voted the right way earlier in the day. And it's certainly encouraging that Conyers did, but Conyers, as recently as this past weekend, has gone to public events and said, I'm for impeachment and I'm against impeachment, within 60 seconds of each other.
Oh, really?
And so until he acts, his word is very hard to read at this point.
Yeah. Well, and it's difficult because, you know, many of us have affection for John Conyers and the work that he's done over the years. And it's so frustrating because we want to nudge him past the block that the leadership has placed. And it's hard to tell whether he supports their restraint or not.
Well, as you know, in 2005, he produced a 200-page report laying out the impeachable offenses. He introduced a bill pushing for impeachment. He was there until the election, or rather until May of 06, when Pelosi took impeachment off the table. Since then, he's been there in rhetoric and not there in rhetoric. He's had both lines coming out of his mouth within 5 minutes of each other, and he's not acted. And he was quoted in articles this morning saying that impeachment would be a bad idea, and he's against it. By Fox, of course. You know, he may have said both things, and they chose which one to quote. But you know, he's not there with us. He's not willing to challenge Pelosi. We sat in his office and went to jail, and he spent hours talking with Cindy and Reverend and Ray McGovern, and it came down to Pelosi's against it. I'm loyal to Pelosi. And yet he goes and he gives these speeches extolling the virtues of Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass and the list of people who've challenged the system. And yet he won't, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, it certainly is. As we go to a break here, I want to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to talk with us, maybe you have a question about how the process works from here, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'm cherry-picking through the list of 86 Democrats to identify those from California and Oregon. Baca, Lois Capps of Santa Barbara. We mentioned Conyers. He's not from California, but you know why I mentioned him. DeFazio of Oregon voted to oppose the tabling of the impeachment measure. Ellison of Minnesota, Farr of California. Let's see who else here. Maurice Hinchey of New York. He's a good guy. Mike Honda of California. Jackson Lee of Texas. Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio, plus Marcy Kaptur. We mentioned her. And I'm working through the list here. McDermott of Washington. And let's see, Napolitano, Ortiz. Still working through the list here. Roybal Allard of California. Schakowsky of Illinois. Brad Sherman of California. Hilda Solis. Pete Stark. Maxine Waters. And Lynn Woolsey. That's pretty much the list. Oh, and Mike Thompson of California. How about that? We'll take a break and return for your calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina. with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Gilroy's on the bus headed south to meet up with North Salinas this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about impeachment. It's on the table here. And with us is David Swanson. He's helped lead the charge for impeachment. Dennis Kucinich had the courage to introduce the bill today. And you can read more about it, the live blog, blow by blow, at impeachcheney.org. That's impeachcheney.org. Now, one of the things I just read during the break, David, about the sequence of events here is that the Democratic leadership kept the vote open for over an hour, which permitted mostly Republicans, but perhaps some Democrats, to change their votes. Now, this is one of the things that Pelosi was going to fix, because the Republicans famously twisted arms and left the vote open on Medicare B and many other bills that were very close and in some cases might not have passed otherwise.
Yes, I agree, and I have no explanation. It's very strange because the Democratic leadership, I thought, wanted it to go one way, and they kept it open for over an hour as the Republicans clearly and very gradually shifted to force it to go the other way. I can't explain it. I don't know whose arm was twisted by whom.
Dave in Eureka, join us here, Peter B. and David Swanson.
Well, Peter and David, I do believe this could well be a major victory for the Democrats today for several reasons. But one, never before did anybody's memory did the House circuits, the phone lines, get more heavily loaded. And Mike Thompson's office here, I think, received several hundred phone calls from people, almost none of which were opposed to the impeachment, all wanted it to happen. So I think that was very significant. And also, it was only when it was obvious that the keep it off the table, people were losing, that several people, and I think Mike Thompson was one of them, I'm not sure, I shouldn't say that in fairness.
Thompson did vote against tabling the measure.
Initially. He went and changed his vote and took it and then voted against it.
So, well, I think that's interesting. Maybe he just saw a cheap way to mollify people like me and you, Dave, but it appears that those phone calls may have made an impact.
Oh, they never had phone calls like they had today. And this is Republican and Democratic Congress members. They were just overloaded with them. So the Congress member was in the position of choosing to support the big corporate special interests that own them or to support the people that are telling them how they want them to vote. And so that would be a real bind for a lot of these folks.
But all right. David Swanson, do you agree with Dave here? Is this in some ways good for the country and good for the Democratic Party?
It's tremendous that the public is energized by it and that the public is going to be clamoring for more and that the Congress heard with increased intensity where the public stands. That's all to the good. So mm-hmm. there are positive things coming out of this. It's in the same committee, but it's there with more momentum.
All right. Dean in Sacramento, you're next. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, I just wanted to say, number one, you know, the Constitution is a powerful, bold, flexible document that has survived well over a couple hundred years, and I think what Dennis Kucinich did today was one of the best things. I mean, I have not seen this kind of political moxie in a while, and I'm glad that he did it. And as a lifelong Democrat, I cannot be more disappointed in Nancy Pelosi, but it makes it more clear who to vote for a year from today, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's very disappointing that the Democrats, you know, instead of this go along, let's keep our fingers in the dike until we can get into office attitude instead of making real change in the country. I think Nancy Pelosi proved it once again that the Democrats aren't willing to take stands on, I think, important issues in the country. This is very disappointing as a Democrat.
Well, and Nancy really should. There's an old phrase, but she should hear it. She should lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Exactly. Years ago, Tip O'Neill made a comment that he didn't think the country could stand an impeachment process when the Iran-Contra thing was going on. I don't want to get into arguing whether or not it was an impeachable offense, but politicians need to remember the Constitution is a powerful document, and if they would follow it, it served us well all these years already.
And it will provide political benefits if they simply follow it. That's my opinion. Mike in Elk Grove, join us here on the air.
Yes, thanks for having me. I just getting wind of a lot of this. I just got off work, but I'm just totally disgraced at what has happened. Mike Malloy said, get these people in office 2006. If they don't produce, get them the hell out of office next time it comes around. We gave them their chance, and so far they have not produced. The other thing is, like Bill Maher said, I'm pissed off that not enough people are pissed off. I mean, what's it going to take? And I hope you put Pelosi and those other key Democrats that did not go along with this and put them out there and so everyone in the world can call, because the world's watching this. I mean, here's an opportunity to do what's right with 75% of the people think that this country is going the wrong way and they're not doing anything other than just politicizing it before the next 2008 election. So they're at a chance. We need to get them the hell out of there now. This is just getting sickening.
All right. Thanks for your comment. And Speaker Pelosi, because she's the speaker, has an easy-to-remember phone number, 202-225-0100. Don't be afraid to call it. Connie in Arcata, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi there. Hey, I just wanted to say, Mike Thompson did do the right thing today by voting to try to get the motion to the floor. And, as much as we're critical of the fact that the Democrats haven't been able to do anything on this issue, I think we do have to thank those that did take this action. So that was my comment. Thanks.
All right, Connie, I appreciate that. What we don't know is exactly when Mike changed his vote and why. And I will agree with you that, as the record shows, he voted the right way once, and I mentioned it with a pleasant surprise, but he needs to show us a little bit more of a commitment before I would start patting him on the back. David Swanson, thanks for joining us. Keep the fires going, will you?
You too, Peter.
We'll do what we can, and stay in touch. Let me know of any developments, will you?
Will do.
All right, thanks. That's David Swanson. Go to the website, impeachcheney.org. And you can get the live blog play-by-play of today's events on Capitol Hill. Coming up next, Brett Kavanaugh joins us. He's got a $500,000 reward. We'll see if you qualify. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Senate probes the finances of televangelists.
We're looking at this from a legal standpoint, not anything to do with doctrine.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where the House for the first time has voted to override one of President Bush's vetoes.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Private jets, Rolls Royces, a marble commode. The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee says those are some of the things paid for by the faithful followers of six TV preachers, including Benny Hinn, Paula White, Creflo Dollar, and Bishop Eddie Long. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has more.
Televangelist Joyce Meyer offers spiritual advice to sinners.
Not really pursuing God with your lifestyle.
Now she's accused of the same thing.
We have sent letters to six different organizations making a lot of inquiries.
Iowa Republican Charles Grassley wants the Senate Finance Committee to investigate.
Misuse of money for very, very expensive cars, opulent housing, $28,000 bathroom facilities.
Grassley has given the televangelist 1 month to respond. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Five of the six denied any wrongdoing when contacted by CBS News. One did not respond. Now this.
Honey, I'm cooking for us this holiday.
Really?
I'm making turducken oostrich.
What?
It's a duck and a chicken and a turkey and a goose and an ostrich, deep fried.
We're going to my mother's.
Why stick around for the holidays when you could win two free tickets anywhere in the U.S. just by making Yahoo your homepage? Go to yahoo.com and search Home for the Holidays for your chance at free airfare.
Yahoo!
No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Each prize is two $500 credits on a major airline. See full rules at promotions.yahoo.com/holidayjetcenter.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
By an overwhelming vote, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House has moved a big water resources bill closer to becoming law over the president's objections.
It was a first, the House voting to override President Bush's veto. Democrats joined by Republicans like Charles Bustani of Louisiana in deciding water projects for their states take precedence.
I urge all colleagues to support this bill, support an override of the presidential veto.
The president complained the $23 billion measure was too expensive. Democratic leader Steny Hoyer says it's a fraction of what he wants to spend on war.
Not in Anchorage, not in Baltimore, not in Mississippi or California. $196.4 billion for Baghdad and Kabul.
The Senate's expected to vote to override tomorrow. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Voting 11-8, the Senate Judiciary Committee has endorsed Michael Mukasey for Attorney General. He assured the panel that if Congress enacts a law against the interrogation technique known as waterboarding, he would enforce it. Crude oil could hit $100 a barrel this week, says analyst Peter Butel. It settled today at a record $96.96.
We have a kind of market psychology right now that is almost looking for a supply problem anywhere, and that's what's pushing us higher at this particular moment.
And demand is strong, even at these prices. As riders walk the picket lines for a second day, their strike claimed more casualties. The hit TV show Desperate Housewives has suspended production, along with at least half a dozen sitcoms, including several CBS shows. No talks have been scheduled since contract negotiations broke down on Sunday. Over the objections of Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig, team general managers have endorsed the use of instant replay. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
The commissioner doesn't like it, but he's willing to consider it. Some players and umpires think it could help the game. The umpires' union is looking closely at it. Lamell McMorris is their lead negotiator.
The most important point from the umpires' perspective is that we would be involved in the decision-making and the discussions regarding the usage of this.
The general managers say instant replay would be limited to fair versus foul balls, disputed home runs, and possible cases of fan interference. Peter King, CBS News.
The patriarch of the singing Osmond family has died in Salt Lake City. George Osmond had not been ill. He died this morning at his home at the age of 90. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and you handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
President Bush has embraced the recommendation.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
America today finds itself in a ball of confusion. The term torture doesn't mean torture. And Michael Mukasey is going to be the next attorney general.
People moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't
hide. And I, boy, and I, a 2 for 2. Vote for me and I'll set you free.
And the deciding votes that permitted the Mukasey nomination to escape from the Senate Judiciary Committee were cast by Dianne Feinstein of California and Charles Schumer of New York. And if they had voted against Mukasey, the vote would have been 10-9 against. But with their support, it was 11-8 in favor. Just enough of a margin to get it to the floor where more limp Democrats and United Republicans will rush to confirm his nomination. And this is all in the face of his failure to explicitly rebuke torture, to explicitly identify waterboarding as torture. And joining us now is Brett Kimberlin. He is the founder of VelvetRevolution.us. That's their website. And that's affiliated, of course, with our friend Brad Friedman at bradblog.com. They work on election protection issues. And Brett has submitted to torture, and there's a video that we'll tell you about in a moment to help you understand graphically what he did submit to. Brett, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me on, Peter. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to talk with you again. First up, let's deal with this, because I've been telling people that you're dangling a $500,000 reward for whistleblowers who can help expose specific information about a couple of companies from Ohio. Tell us about this and what you are seeking.
Well, we posted a $500,000 reward earlier this summer, and we just sent out new press releases about it this week. What we're looking at are several Ohio companies and people in Ohio who we believe are behind the government takeover, the coup d'etat in Washington. Basically, these companies that are run by Michael Connell, and the companies are GovTech Solutions and New Media Communications and a few others, they have been involved with most of the electoral dirty tricks that the GOP has been engaged in for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. from Florida 2000 up through Ohio 2004. And, for example, the Carrie Swift voting, the Martha Swift voting, the New Hampshire phone jamming, the 2003 theft of the Senate emails, and the U.S. attorney scandal in Washington. I mean, I could go on. The list just goes on and on ad infinitum. So we've asked for whistleblowers to come forward to talk about Michael Connell and his companies, and we've been getting quite a bit of information. It's so we're looking for more, and we think that these people that run these companies, you know, are kind of the invisible hand behind the GOP electoral dirty tricks. And one thing that's really scary and interesting about this is that Connell's company, GovTech Solutions, is the first company to be allowed behind the firewall of the congressional computers. So, in other words, he's able to spy on House Administration, Intelligence, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committee without detection. He can read all the emails, all the files, the folders, and they don't even know what's going on.
And we do know, for example, when it comes to judicial nominations, that the Republicans have been able to hack into the computer networks or just PCs of critical Democrats, Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. In 2003, this Connell's was involved with that, you know, and that's why we're...
And how do we know that? Can you flesh that out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated situation. He's got over 40 companies, a lot of shell companies that are that he's put together to stop people from kind of detecting what he's doing. But one of the people that was involved with that hacking, a guy named Manuel, he was affiliated directly with Connell's partner, a lady named Becky Donatelli. And so we've been able to trace that. And, you know, the other thing is that the GWB 43 emails system that the RNC and the White House used to get around the U.S. attorney scandal, that was all Connell's deal, too.
Well, and this again, Brett, it ties into the way the Democrats have caved on the Mukasey nomination confirmation, because
yeah.
Pat Leahy was fighting mad in the middle of August and calling for, pursuit of contempt of Congress charges against the White House. And
right.
While the Democrats have not dropped it entirely, there was an effort just yesterday to hold Joshua Bolton, the new chief of staff, and Harriet Myers to the subpoenas that have been issued. But that's really lame when you consider how much critical information has been demanded and absolutely nothing has been delivered by the White House.
And the thing is, I mean, of course, Conyers came out for contempt of these folks yesterday, and the White House laughed at them and said, you know, we're never going to give you this stuff, and we don't care what you do. So I just think that the Democrats are really spineless. I mean, every time it comes down to the crunch, they always fold in favor of the GOP. And, it's really pathetic. I mean, this latest thing with Feinstein and Schumer is a prime example of that. I mean, this guy, Mukasey, should not be confirmed at all. I mean, he's Mr. Torture during when he was up in New York. He was the one that hauled the defense attorneys in and supported Giuliani, you know, to sniff around all the defense attorneys. And, you know, he doesn't care about the Constitution. And, he's just doing the bidding of the administration here and not admitting that the waterboarding is wrong and torture.
We're talking to Brett Kimberlin, founder and president of Velvet Revolution. They're on the web at velvetrevolution.us. And should people log on to the website and send an email if they have information, or would you prefer phone calls to your tip line?
Well, we got 1-888-VOTE-TIP, 1-888-VOTETIP.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just call if they have information about the GovTech Solutions, Mike Connell, the theft of the 2004-2006 elections in Ohio. We'd love to hear from them.
Great. And let me just ask you your theories here, and I want to be clear here that we're now moving into speculation mode. But as I've looked at the U.S. attorney scandal, at the way Rove operated with these non-governmental email servers, the linkage between operatives in the Justice Department and Karl Rove's Wednesday meeting group in the White House, it seems to me that if the Democrats pursued it effectively, we would learn the extent to which U.S. attorneys were instructed to file phony charges about voter fraud, that is, fraudulent behavior by voters, as a smokescreen to permit vote theft, voter theft, and election fraud. What are your thoughts about that, Brett?
Well, I mean, Mike Connell was involved with that whole gig, too. I mean, the American Center for Voting Rights, which was that fraudulent group that we exposed years ago to, you know, that was created by the GOP to pursue these false voter fraud allegations and then gave this information to the Department of Justice and told them who to go after. You know, it's all part of the same kind of scandal. I mean, it's what I've kind of come to the conclusion, it's like during the Nixon years with the Committee to Re-election elect President Nixon, CREEP, and how they were involved with all the electoral dirty tricks, you know, at that time. And this Connell group is the same thing. They're involved with the electoral dirty tricks, and they're doing it invisibly. I mean, nobody's ever heard of, I mean, very few people have heard of Mike Connell or New Media Communications or GovTech Solutions, you know, and I want to put them on the front page of the New York Times and have congressional hearings and have these people subpoenaed. I mean, this is going to break the back of the GOP when this stuff comes out.
We're talking with Brett Kimberlin. As I mentioned, he is the founder and president of Velvet Revolution. Again, their website, velvetrevolution.us. Their toll-free number is 888-VOTE-TIP. That's 1-888-VOTE-TIP. They're offering a $500,000 reward to people who can provide critical information about GovTech, about new media communications, Michael Connell, and his partner, Donatelli. So let's take a break here, and then, Brett, I want to find out about your experiences where you submitted to waterboarding and other forms of torture. There's a video up at YouTube that captures it. We'll talk about that coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Alrighty, folks, here we go. Let's tell you about a big problem being reported right now. Apparently in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and what I can tell you is that we do have a problem. It's a SIG alert. It's Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 before Sugarloaf. Again, northbound 17 for Sugarloaf, a stalled garbage truck blocking the right lane. You can expect delays there. And also want to mention another problem in that area. We have a Santa Cruz Mountain southbound 17 at the summit. We have a stalled gas truck blocking the right lane. Two separate incidents and certainly causing problems at this point. And a quick look at eastbound 183. A little bit sluggish between Castroville and Salinas. That's traffic on KRXA.
If waterboarding is torture, torture is unconstitutional. Trying to come up with a meaningless comparison there, like, you know, if the Wicked Witch is from the West, she must be wicked. I don't know. I don't think that one worked. We're talking with Brett Kimberlin. And as we mentioned, he is co-founder and president of VelvetRevolution.us. And in his spare time, he operates a website and an organization called Justice Through Music, based in Washington. And Brett, what was it that made you to decide to submit to torture and, in particular, waterboarding to create this video?
Well, the Bush administration has been very good about sanitizing torture coming out of Iraq. They've made sure that the videos of Abu Ghraib that haven't come out, they've, you know, fought tooth and nail to keep the pictures from coming out. They don't want reporters down in Guantanamo. They don't want Guantanamo prisoners talking to the press. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, people could see torture in reality and then be able to make an informed decision about whether it was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I agreed to submit myself to a renditioning in a torture session at an abandoned prison in the D.C. area, and so my captors were told not to hold back, but just don't kill me, and so they snatched me off the street, threw a black hood over my head, handcuffed me from behind, dragged me into the prison, hung me from the bars till my wrist bled, and subjected me to water torture and freezing temperatures. So it was very frightening. And one of the things that I figured out was that, you know, waterboarding is not done in isolation the way the administration tries to portray it. It's done as a one tool of many that these captors use against a prisoner. And in my case, I actually came down with a life-threatening lung infection afterwards because the stuff got down into my lungs. And,
really?
And I got pneumonia, and I got shingles. And,
oh, geez,
bro. You know, so this, you know, this, once the torture session was over, I was really, I mean, I was hobbled for about 3 weeks.
Well, and those who support torture, and it's amazing to see people come out and talk about how they think it's a great thing and that waterboarding just creates the illusion of drowning. There's no long-term damage. And you have, obviously, very personal evidence that directly contradicts that notion.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the whole point. It doesn't stimulate drowning. It actually does drown a person. I mean, I was put on an angle upside down, the water went down into my nose and went down into my lungs. I threw up. I got the vomit in my lungs, and you know, it was terrifying. And again, it was done in the winter time with no heat in this prison, and it was freezing temperatures. So, you know, the torture wasn't just the water going down my nose, but the water and then getting all wet and then getting sick. And then, you know, it went on and on, and I still have nightmares about this to this day. You know, it was really terrifying, and definitely it was torture.
Now, did you make any effort to communicate your experience to, say, Judge Mukasey?
Well, we put it out on the net. You know, we put it up on our website. We sent out press releases about it. We've asked, you know, them to contact us if they want to see it or talk to me or have me give testimony. Of course, we haven't heard a peep from the administration or even any congresspeople, which I think is odd.
And for our listeners, if you'd like to see this, it's up at YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com. And if you enter in the search window the words op-critical and exile, op-critical and exile, it should come up. And it's a powerful video. Often we play videos on the air, but all you would hear really is the great music soundtrack. And you need to view it for yourself and see what Brett put himself through. And understand, for example, if you get a chance to see the new movie Rendition, there is a grisly scene in that prison that I place in Egypt. They just say that it's North Africa in the film. But they waterboard this guy, and it's very graphic, and I found it very realistic. And I think people really need to understand that waterboarding is not some kind of a benign procedure. It really is a near-death experience, and as Brett just told us, it can produce long-term illness and damage. Let's go to Nancy in Sacramento. Thanks for your call, Nancy, from KSAC. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. I'm calling from Sacramento.
Yes?
I was listening to your prior caller. I actually have a question about the Electoral College issue in Ohio that he was talking about, the front companies.
Mm-hmm.
We have a similar situation out here in California where we have some companies who come in and try to join in this, pay money for this initiative process to split California's electoral vote.
Yeah, we thought it was dead, and it's alive again, and Daryl Issa has kicked in $50,000 to help buy the signatures. They're on a very tight deadline, but they're offering $3 or $4 per signature. And
I heard they have 10.
At $10?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they are desperate to do this because it would mean as many as 22 or 24 electoral votes being split off to the Republicans, and
yeah.
At least the original group was pretty closely tied to Rudy Giuliani.
Okay, I just wondered if any of the money was coming from this gentleman who you were speaking to, the people who O'Connell, or the guy in Ohio.
Yeah, it's Connell, not O'Connell. And Brett, do you have any indication that he's been supporting this divisive ballot measure in California?
Well, I don't have any direct evidence of that, but I would venture to guess that he's probably the IT guy. Once they need a website to go up, or if they've already got a website up, he's got it, up there for them and is directing people to it.
Okay, Nancy, thank you for the call. Brett, thank you for the work that you're doing, and I hope you recover soon from the ill effects of the torture that you submitted to.
All right, thanks for having me on, Peter.
You bet. That's Brett Kimberlin.
Nature's waiting, you something's wrong.
If waterboarding is torture, torture is unconstitutional.
Nature's waiting, you in a song.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Writers on Strike. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. We're already playing Guess the Date with Late Night TV. We have about a month until the soap operas run out, and then we'll have to sit in small groups and stare at the radio like our parents did. But look, if you think I'm going to poke fun at the writers, forget it. I was an English major. Writing is hard. I used to think 300 words wasn't much. Then I realized you weren't allowed just to pick them at random. That's why the writers want to be paid, not just for the stuff that gets on TV, but for the stuff that gets on YouTube.
This is a really easy one. If they make money off of our product, we get some of that money.
And did you notice something? Unlike with many politicians, writers speak clearly. I understand exactly what that guy wants. The producers say the writers are being greedy, but when a video takes off, it's not because of who produced it. It's because the writer had a eureka moment, and not knowing when the next one may come, he wants a piece of the action for the ones that work. And in an age where a YouTube video of a math teacher drawing a freehand circle can get literally 3 million hits, the writers think they can compete pretty well. Although, it's true, seeing Alexander Overwick drawing a perfect freehand circle without a single writer is pretty amazing.
Is this something I do in my spare time? I draw freehand circles. This is my warm-up.
Perfect circle.
3,833,310 views since January, about 10 of them from me. God, I hope this strike ends soon. Now this.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've seen a profile in courage and profiles in cowardice today. Chuck Schumer voted out the Mukasey nomination because, well, he had a crock to offer, but it was just a blah, blah, blah kind of thing.
Before the war.
Nancy Pelosi had Steny Hoyer try to table Dennis Kucinich's impeachment measure. Didn't expect the Republicans to enter the fray and try to divide the Democrats even further. Blah, 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 blah.
Simone Perez. What you gonna do?
Jason Leopold joins us again today, per usual. He's the investigative editor there at truthout.org. We're going to talk about a powerful story he posted about Dick Cheney's nuclear ambitions. But first, with a little Iggy Pop to get us going here, Jason, I wanted to talk about the blah, blah, blah on Capitol Hill today.
I have to say, I actually have an Iggy Pop t-shirt.
You do?
The album cover, Blah, Blah, Blah.
Oh, cool.
And it's one of my favorites. So
oh, yeah?
I'm playing that.
I really like Wild Child on that.
Yeah.
That it was an album.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. He's wearing acid wash jeans on the album cover, and it's like, wow, this really is old.
Yeah. So, putting our rock behind us here,
yeah.
I am just amazed at a few developments here. First of all, let's talk about the Mukasey nomination coming out of Judiciary in the Senate.
Right.
The two critical votes that made the difference were Democrats.
Right. Diane. And, you know, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, because it just doesn't seem that long ago that we spoke about Diane Feinstein.
Yep.
She is the one that, surprise, surprise, you know, was the one that helped push this through. Chuck Schumer seems to be, you know, more interested in his ego than actually, you know, standing up for justice, if you will.
Well, we opened up the show today with a Republican, Bruce Fein,
yeah,
talking about impeachment. But first, we talked about the Mukasey vote, and I referenced to him that Feinstein said that she was going to vote for Mukasey, quote unquote, because he's not Gonzalez.
Exactly. That has to be. That has to be the worst reason.
Well, Fein put it in kind of legalese. He said, well, the bar has never been so low.
Right. Right. How sad is that? That's what it's come down to. That, you know, and I think Chuck Schumer said something similar. You know, we'll wind up not having anyone. So let's just have this guy.
Well, let me quote from the op-ed that he published in the New York Times today, his apologia for this stinky, odoriferous vote.
Right.
Should we reject Judge Mukasey, President Bush has said he would install an acting caretaker attorney general who could serve for the rest of his term without the advice and consent of the Senate. To accept such an unaccountable attorney general, I believe, would be to surrender the department to the extreme ideology of Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, David Addington. All the work we did to pressure Gonzalez to resign would be undone in a moment. Now, this is.
I don't buy it.
Well, no, it's BS. We're not allowed to say what those letters stand for.
Basically, saying that we have no power, we have no choice. We, as a Congress, cannot do anything other than push this nomination through. We're weak.
Well,
folks, but you know, waterboarding or not, this is what it comes down to.
Well, and Bruce Fein ticked off beyond the torture policies, all of the issues that Mukasey supports, including, you know, the expansion of presidential power.
Right.
Keeping
the unitary executive. He absolutely supports it.
Keeping Guantanamo open. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right.
And Mukasey is certainly, you know, appears on the face of it to be better than Gonzalez, and he might in fact repair some of the damage internal there at the Justice Department. But on the most critical issues, he is no better than Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it would take much right now to find somebody a little bit better than Gonzalez.
Well, and so, to accept the president's threat as if it's true, because,
right,
you know, once again, the Congress, the Senate in this case, just genuflex in the face of a presidential threat. Call him out. Bluff
right.
him. Make him stand up and actually do that.
Right. Well, you know, what these two, Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer, have done is that they basically said that they were not willing to fight. I think that Congress, particularly Democrats, again, you know, will just say the same thing over again. You know, they were brought in to fight for people who, for the public, on behalf of the public, who are or have been, you know, outraged at the massive constitutional violations, you know, the war in Iraq and various other issues. And, you know, once again, they're not willing to fight. You know, Dianne Feinstein, I think, has been, you know, the many quid pro quos going on. And I will absolutely say that, you know, we're going to be taking a real good look at her record and, you know, what's happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and when we put it in the recent context, she led the charge to take the hold off the nomination of a lifetime court appointment for
right.
a judge named Southwick. And she not only enabled that to go to the floor, but she voted to end debate, and then she voted for the nomination itself.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of horse trading she's been doing with the Bush administration, but whatever she's gotten in exchange for this lifetime appointment for Southwick and this troubled confirmation for Judge Mukasey ain't worth it.
No. It's not worth it. First of all, let me just say this before I even get into that. Speaking to a number of career law enforcement officials, assistant attorney generals, some retired attorney generals, the outrage over the way Congress, the Democrats in particular, have handled this, they find it troubling. They find it troubling, with regard to how they're willing to, push aside the rule of law, just sort of shove that on the side and say that really doesn't matter right now. And it truly is mind-boggling that this is what it's come down to. That actually, we're sitting here saying that he is basically going to become attorney general as a result of Democrats. It's bizarre.
It is. Now, Jason, let me just ask you this. I want to shift to the discussion about impeachment here. Do you believe that there's any high-minded reason that Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Harry Reid on the Senate side are so determined to block impeachment? They created an opportunity for the Republicans to drive a huge wedge between those who support the Speaker and those who support Dennis Kucinich today.
Right.
And that should not have been permitted to happen.
I think that this is it's really strange. I mean, I'm scratching my head trying to figure this out. I think obviously the Republicans have pushed this through. They're hoping that in doing so it will embarrass Democrats. That's their thinking.
But Jason, the curious thing here, excuse me, is that Pelosi or whoever had the gavel allowed that vote to stay open for almost an hour.
Right.
Now, typically they're 15 minutes, and one of the things that they were trying to do to reform the conduct of business in the House because of the abuses when it was under Republican control was to, honor the rules, and votes are supposed to be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And during this period, a whole bunch of Republicans changed their votes solely to embarrass the Democrats. Now, why did they leave the vote open to enable that?
Yeah. Well, that is that is a question that I do not have the answer to, and certainly when it comes to Nancy Pelosi these days, and I have to say many other Democrats, it's really difficult to figure them out. It's hard to sometimes I have to remind myself that these are actually Democrats, that they're not Republicans, because the way that they're behaving certainly does not represent, what we know or what we see as progressive, and or liberal or just democratic ideals.
Well,
I think that they're trying to embarrass, their own.
Well, and
that's
Jason,
the problem is that we have this, you have this infighting, and they're willing, to embarrass their own. Nancy Pelosi has her, sights set on next year, taking a bigger majority in both houses, absolutely disregarding what anyone in the public who has supported her said, feels, and where they want to see things headed, and looking at 2009, and I think that this is, you just surf the web or just read the political magazines and blogs. People are outraged with her, and she has to know that.
Well, she does at least know it about the war in Iraq. She admitted that last week, saying that if she got a call from a pollster, she'd say, yeah, the Congress isn't doing a very good job. That's an interesting admission from her, but she's still maintaining a stone wall on impeachment. And, I not only think it's a mistake, I think it's a tragic failure to heed the supremacy of the Constitution and the political benefits that would flow from honoring the Constitution.
Right. And she doesn't own it, and that's what she doesn't understand. She does not, she does not own the Constitution. She does. This is not, something that she could say truly is off the table. I mean, it's there for a reason, and certainly there, there is ample evidence to warrant, impeachment if it had that type of support. Just a little while ago, actually, the ACLU revealed that there's a third torture memo that's out there someplace.
I didn't know that.
They made a filing in federal court saying that, and what I mean by the torture memo is, Alberto Gonzalez had written two of them. The New York Times had revealed the contents of it. Now we find out that there's a third one, that the administration signed off on. And, again, I mean, these are impeachable offenses. And I think that any constitutional scholar would say that without blinking an eye. I think we've been had.
that's telling it like it is. Lisa in Eureka, join us here. Peter B. and Jason Leopold.
What is the definition of the phrase when kidnappees start to identify with their kidnapper?
Stockholm syndrome.
Thank you. That's what Congress has, is Stockholm syndrome.
Well, some people have said battered wife syndrome.
Okay, well, either one. They're about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my answer to why Congress is screwing up. My question is, I was listening to one of your other progressive radio stations that we get up here in Eureka, and Mr. Hartman said, according to what he knows of the law, we don't even need to impeach him. They have committed violations against our Constitution. Those are criminal, high crimes and misdemeanors, and they don't have to impeach him. They can go right to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Lisa, I'm not aware that there is a legal path while they are in office. I think after they leave office, they are open to charges of that sort. But I believe there's an office holder immunity. Am I right, Jason?
I have to say, I'm not very familiar with what Lisa's talking about.
Mm-hmm. It came up to some extent in the Clinton impeachment case because there were issues about whether he could be impeached for, this personal behavior as opposed to
but
official
acts. But the question that I have, though, is don't people realize, these people that are supposed to be our lawmakers realize that impeachment really doesn't mean removal from office? It just means an investigation of crimes that these people have committed?
Right.
Yeah. Well, if we were able to make a citizen's arrest of the president and vice president, I can tell you I'd be on a plane right now.
Oh, you and me both, bro. So. You and me both.
All right.
And I'm sure that the plane would be packed.
Thank you, Lisa. I got to run to a break here. Jason, stay with us. We'll return and talk about your story about Dick Cheney's nuclear ambitions. And he's the one who actually, I think, knows how to pronounce nuclear. We'll continue in a moment with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
We're going to take a look at a problem being reported right now. It is, it's in the Santa Cruz Mountains. A sig alert still being issued. Let's give you all the updates. It's located on northbound 17. Northbound 17 before Sugarloaf. It's a stalled garbage truck. It's blocking the right lane. Expect delays. Northbound 17 before Sugarloaf. Stalled garbage truck blocking the right lane. A sig alert being issued there from the CHP indicating a very serious problem there. Also, looking at another problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains, this time southbound 17 at the summit. It is a stalled gas truck. Now, the right lane blocked there. CHP is also there. Traffic starting to back up in the area. Southbound 1, slow and go between Monterey and Carmel. And also eastbound 25, slow track Gilroy to Hollister.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And whenever we talk about matters nuclear, I find the excuse to dig out Geddy Lee and Rush. It's a very interesting song. It's called The Manhattan Project.
Imagine the time when it all began, in the dying days of a war, a weapon that would settle the score. Whoever found it first would be sure to do their worst. We always had before.
We continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. On Monday, he posted an interesting article entitled Cheney Pursuing Nuclear Ambitions of His Own. And when you consider how hard we're trying to keep Iran from developing nuclear power or a nuclear weapon, it's interesting to see the hypocrisy of Cheney working secretly to promote more nuclear power plants in these United States. Great article, Jason.
Thanks. Yeah, I actually worked on that for a little over a month, and this particular policy, which is very much alive and being heavily promoted, but at the same time, you know, sort of quiet in a sense, is really the cornerstone of that 2001 national energy policy. The public should really care about this for a variety of reasons. One, as you know, there seems to be an awareness about the environment. So we're really looking toward alternative energy resources to supplement our reliance on oil, electricity, and what they are doing is, or I should say what Cheney's doing is, he has been orchestrating and very successfully driving billions of dollars in federal subsidies to these massive corporations to build nuclear power plants.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of months ago, the first power plant, the first application since Three Mile Island meltdown in almost 30 years ago was filed. And this is by a company that's based in New Jersey called NRG Energy. And that's a company, by the way, that had advised the president of that company, former president of that company, had actually traveled to Washington, met with Cheney twice in 2001 to advise him on the national energy policy. And now this company stands to receive at least $2 billion in incentives and federal aid to build a power plant. There's about 32 other applications that are expected to be filed, and there's basically very little money being invested in alternative resources. And, you know, behind the scenes, Cheney has been going over to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They have loosened the rules and oversight that usually comes with applying for an application to build a nuclear power plant. I mean, the reason that we haven't seen beyond, besides the fact that there's really, we have no place to store nuclear waste, besides that, it has not been economical to build a nuclear power plant. But
well, they're betting that at $90 a barrel on the spot market for oil, and natural gas has not escalated in cost as much recently.
Right.
But they're hoping that that will provide the illusion that nuclear power is more cost effective. Also,
and it's not. It absolutely is not more cost effective.
The other thing, the other card that they're willing to play, which is immensely hypocritical, is that, gosh, you know, nuclear power plants are good for the environment. They don't throw
that
off
is
these...
By the way, that is exactly what they're doing. They are promoting it as the sort of new green energy, that it does not emit any CO2 into the air, and that it's clean.
But it warms, but because of the cooling requirements, the water in the ocean or nearby rivers or lakes is heated that it can cool the power plant.
Right, right. And it actually, you know, has a, it can have a ripple effect in a sense of certain wildlife, you know. And the fact of the matter is that we have the energy secretary right now, Sam Bodman, who is on a sort of a nationwide tour promoting nuclear energy, the resurgence of nuclear energy. This is, by the way, the same guy who I've said on your show before has, ran a chemical company that was the fifth worst polluter in the state of Texas, carbon black into the air from its power plants.
Mm-hmm.
But there's such an incestuous relationship going on between all these corporations, because now you have the White House promoting nuclear energy, then selecting a group of companies to file applications, basically handing them billions of dollars at taxpayer expense, and then going to General Electric, by the way, who also advised Cheney on his national energy policy,
mm-hmm.
certifying General Electric's design for a nuclear reactor, and using that as the second item next mm-hmm. to Westinghouse that you're going to choose
now,
to have it built.
Jason, just about 30 seconds here. Do you believe that this nuclear policy was the reason that they pulled out all the stops to keep the Cheney Energy Task Force meeting secret?
Absolutely. As I research this, I have to say that what's happening now versus what happened then, they were heavily promoting nuclear energy. And I think if we dug a bit deeper, if we're able to, we're going to find even more evidence that this was exactly what they were hoping for.
Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org. He's also the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Thanks a lot, Jason. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Peter.
All right. You're welcome. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan from Crew. A guilty verdict in the Brent Wilkes bribery trial. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822.
Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a Bush administration first, a presidential veto that doesn't stick. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports on House passage of the $23 billion water resources bill.
President Bush's veto was easily overridden by the House, where members brushed aside his concerns about cost to support a measure with hundreds of water projects that Illinois Democrat Jerry Costello says are vital.
This bill will help our farmers get their crops to market, protect critical habitat, and provide flood protection for our people.
It's unclear if this override is going to make Republicans more likely to oppose more of President Bush's vetoes, which are coming. But on this bill, the Senate's expected to follow the House and override the veto. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A win for the president today when the Senate Judiciary Committee endorsed Michael Mukasey for Attorney General. The vote was 11-8. This is White House spokeswoman Dana Perino.
Judge Mukasey has clearly demonstrated that he will be an exceptional attorney general at this critical time.
Confirmation by the full Senate seems assured. They wear expensive, even flamboyant clothes. They live in luxury homes, travel on private jets, and in fancy cars. How do some of these TV preachers do it? CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katan reports the ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, Charles Grassley, is trying to find out.
Grassley capped a two-year investigation on Monday by requesting financial records from six top televangelists to see whether they are helping others or themselves. Today, five of the six denied any wrongdoing to CBS News. One did not respond to calls for comment.
The targets of the investigation are Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, and Bishop Eddie Long. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan, convicted of fraud and racketeering while in office, will surrender tomorrow to begin serving a 6.5-year prison sentence.
I will report to the Federal Corrections Facility in Oxford, Wisconsin, as ordered tomorrow morning, but I do so with a clear conscience.
Ryan had asked for continued bail while he appeals his conviction, but today Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens turned him down. For several years, Ryan's opposition to the death penalty earned him nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize. For TV and movie writers, a second day on the picket lines. An update from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
The writer's strike is already impacting a number of weekly primetime programs, including the hit show Desperate Housewives. The producer of Desperate Housewives says production on the ABC show will end tomorrow. Among other programs reportedly halting production, CBS's 2 1/2 Men, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and Fox's Till Death. Desperate Housewives has already filmed several episodes which have yet to be broadcast, but will run out of new shows by Christmas. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The Dow up 117 points today, even as the price of oil hit a new record, $97 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your Work Life Rewards card. Buy multi-packs of ink and recycle three HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card. When you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards, excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworkliferewards.com for details.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and you handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The U.S. population is aging and getting heavier, and that's led to more health problems. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the latest.
A new study warns chronic kidney disease is more widespread than previously thought. It raises the percentage of Americans who have it from 10% to 13%. Why the increase? More people are overweight or have diabetes or hypertension, all conditions that can hurt the kidneys. This study in the journal of the American Medical Association finds more than 90% of people with kidney disease aren't aware of it. Untreated, it can raise your risk of heart disease or other illnesses.
A British study tracking more than 1 million women finds a link between obesity and cancer. It blames excessive weight for around 6,000 cases of cancer each year.
Amtrak's Acela Express is pretty fast, but the History Channel hopes it'll be slow enough so people in the Northeast Corridor get the message about an upcoming special. An entire train will be wrapped in a billboard for 1968 with Tom Brokaw. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Honey, I'm cooking for us this holiday.
Really?
I'm making turducken oestrich.
What?
It's a duck and a chicken and a turkey and a goose and an ostrich, deep fried.
We're going to my mother's.
Why stick around for the holidays when you could win two free tickets anywhere in the U.S. just by making Yahoo your homepage? Go to yahoo.com and search Home for the Holidays for your chance at free airfare.
Yahoo!
No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Each prize is two $500 credits on a major airline. See full rules at promotions.yahoo.com/holidayjetsetter.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, Vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show as we head into the free speech zone. Lots to talk about with the activity in Washington today. You want to grab a line? Get on it now. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll get to the phones in the next segment. That's 888-573-8372. But first, another notch in the belt of Melanie Sloan and the corruption fighters at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Headline reads, defense contractor convicted of bribery in Cunningham case. Melanie Sloan, welcome back to our show.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here.
Well, this is not a surprise, but it's gratifying nonetheless, isn't it?
It is gratifying and so not a surprise. Brent Wilkes has been on trial for a couple of weeks now for bribing Duke Cunningham, and he gave, really, as we talked about last week, a fairly pathetic defense that this is just the way Washington works. So if he's lending, quote, lending $100,000 to Duke Cunningham who's not paying it back, well, that's just how Washington operates.
Business as usual.
But the jury didn't think so, and Brent Wilkes was convicted on a 13-count indictment, facing about 20 years in jail, likely to get sentenced between 17 and 20, makes him much more likely to cooperate in the government's other case against him. This case involves Kyle Dusty Fogo, was the number two at CIA, and with a name like that, of course he was at the CIA. but that's a whole other influencing peddling scheme, and that's a 30-count indictment he's facing there. If he cooperates now and turns on his friend, Fogo, who has been his friend apparently since high school, he could potentially chop up to 7 years off his sentence. And when a white-collar defendant is facing 20 and could serve 13 instead, you tend to see some cooperation.
Yeah, and no real chance that he's going to get celled next to Duke Cunningham, is there?
You know, you just really never know where they're going to end up. But it is very bad for Brent Wilkes because he was convicted on some really serious charges, conspiracy on a services fraud and money laundering. And the government doesn't look kindly on that, especially when he didn't plead guilty earlier. You know, and another interesting development related to this case, I don't think you do know that at the same time, just at the end of last week, Mitchell Wade, who is another person who was bribing Duke Cunningham, and Mitchell Wade is going to face probably more like 10 years in jail because he raced to the prosecutor's door and cooperated literally the day after the story about Duke Cunningham's house first broke in the San Diego Tribune. Mitchell Wade was just and his company, MZM, were just fined the second largest fine in FEC history, over $1 million, thanks to a complaint CREW filed against them because he was funneling conduit contributions to none other than Catherine Harris, the former representative from Florida, well known for her role as Secretary of State and helping Bush secure his election to the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And he was funneling money to her campaign paying his employees to give her money. Those are called conduit contributions.
Right.
And he was just fined $1 million for that.
Very interesting. This is a network of thugs, and they're finally being brought to justice.
Right. The real question here is now, are any other members of Congress going to come into that scheme? Brent Wilkes has said during this trial that Duke Cunningham was just one of the members he was busy trying to influence, not even the most important. Jerry Lewis, then the chairman of Appropriations Committee, was much higher on his list, and he implied that he'd had something to do with Lewis. Lewis is under investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles, and it will be interesting to see if prosecutors seek his cooperation in that case as well.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about the way they conducted the trial and that Duke Cunningham was not called on to testify? Was it simply superfluous?
Yeah. You know, Duke Cunningham would have been a bad witness for the government. First of all, you really can't be sure what he was going to say, and he'd probably cry. He likes to cry publicly. So you don't know.
Wait. He's a decorated veteran from Vietnam, and he likes to cry?
He does like to cry. He particularly likes to cry whenever anybody challenges him on anything.
Yeah.
So he cried, for example. At first, he was busy asserting his innocence, but he cried when he had to admit that he'd committed all these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you wouldn't really want to put somebody like Duke Cunningham on the stand as a prosecutor because you're not totally sure what they're going to say. He's kind of a wild card, loose cannon. And then he might try to defend himself and try to defend the system. And you want to really know what your witnesses are going to say. So I think you would have put Duke Cunningham on only if you felt like you didn't have your case nailed down. One thing is, I think I've told you before, I thought the prosecutors didn't handle the Duke Cunningham case that well because there was never a requirement that he cooperate in any further prosecutions in return for his guilty plea and sentence.
Right.
So given that, to put Duke Cunningham on the stand, you don't have a cooperation agreement, you're not really sure what he'll say, and it's a risk. And why would you take that kind of risk when you have such a great case going in against Brent Wilkes? With so much evidence, including former staffers for Duke Cunningham, who were able to talk about the efforts Cunningham was willing to make on Wilkes' behalf that seemed way out of bounds and out of line given the contracts Wilkes allegedly had in his, and that he wasn't even from San Diego.
Right. Well, it's also interesting here. I'm looking at the article from the Associated Press that Judge Larry Burns set January 28th as the sentencing date. And reminded Mr. Wilkes that he generally sentences and you go directly to jail.
Well, that's right. Usually they, in a way, it's surprising that Wilkes isn't in jail now. Once you're convicted, you're often what we call stepped back, you know, which is put in jail awaiting sentence. But once Brent Wilkes is sentenced, we can expect that he'll go directly to jail and that it will be a very substantial jail term to be reduced later only if he does agree to cooperate with prosecutors.
Mm-hmm. And, Melanie Sloan, one of the central issues here that permitted Duke Cunningham to accept bribes and demand them, as he did in writing in some cases, is the earmark process, particularly as it is linked to spending at the Pentagon. And Crewe has identified Jack Murtha, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, who, on the one hand, has been courageous in trying to confront the Bush administration on its failed policy related to Iraq, and on the other hand, continues to operate in a way that, you know, strains our sense of ethics. And he is, once again, the top earmark recipient or inserter. I don't know the right verb there, but he is responsible for more earmarks than any other member of Congress, particularly those aimed at Pentagon spending.
Right. You know, Murtha is in so many ways an unlikely hero of the left, and I really wish people would be a little more cautious in their admiration of Murtha, because most of the people who admire him so much know nothing about his past history, you know, starting with Abscam. But you don't even have to go to Abscam, which doesn't look good for Jack Murtha, to get to the fact that he is a very problematic character, and I, too, admire his stance on the war,
mm-hmm.
but he is not somebody that I think people should be putting a lot of faith in. Truthfully, I think he's a crook, and we're going to see him go down one of these days much more seriously than we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
But what we do know right now, and this is, there have been a series of stories this week, it's kind of funny that suddenly John Murtha is attracted press attention when he hasn't before, but there was last week a full-page story in the Wall Street Journal. It started on the front page above the fold and then had a whole full page inside. There was a Washington Post story about Murtha, and then there was a New York Times story about Murtha. All very not flattering stories. Mm-hmm. And they talked about Murtha and his earmarks and the $192 million he's earmarked in 2008 in this era of we're going to cut back on earmarks and be more careful about them. He is the king of pork, really. But even more disturbing than the fact that just he has all these earmarks is what these earmarks are going to. And they're going to things that the rest of us are not benefiting from. There's a company called Concurrent Technologies that has benefited from over $250 million of earmarks, mostly thanks to Jack Murtha. And this is an alleged nonprofit organization. Now, let me tell you, Crew is a nonprofit organization. We have a very small budget, a very small staff. Concurrent Technologies has got a $250 million budget, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of employees, people earning over $500,000 a year. And what they do is they help the Pentagon. Now, I'm not really sure how helping the defense industry is really a charitable purpose. And I think there are real questions about that. So their tax status seems to be questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But Murtha has done everything he can to build this company up from a tiny little industry to this massive defense contractor. And this is not the only one. He has been, he routinely helps companies, defense companies particularly, as long as they put just at least a little tiny office in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where he's from.
Oh,
so if you open an office in Johnstown, then you can get as many earmarks as you want from Murtha, particularly if you hire the lobbying group, the PMA group, where Murtha's former top aide, Paul Magliaschetti, went and started the PMA group. And, of course, Concurrent Technologies, just for one, hired the PMA group. So here it is. Magliaschetti runs PMA group. You want an earmark from Murtha, you go through Magliaschetti. This is very much like the situation that we've discussed a lot with Jerry Lewis,
yeah,
where if you want an earmark from Lewis, you go through former congressman turned lobbyist Bill Lowry.
And to complete the loop, almost all of them make contributions to either the campaign of Jack Murtha or designated political action committees.
That's right, including a very questionable charity Jack Murtha runs, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there are endless campaign donations in return for earmarks. And this is something that we've talked about over and over, the kind of thing we hate to see, and we'd really hope the Democrats would put more of an end to when they came into power. But just this summer, there was this big issue with John Murtha where when somebody threatened one of his earmarks for for a drug institute that we didn't really need, he threatened this member from Michigan, Mike Rogers, and said that Mike Rogers would never get another earmark if he dared to question one of Murtha's. So here's Murtha, the largest earmarker in Congress, and no one had better dare question him, or they can be sure that no earmarks they have will get through appropriations.
Yeah, it's ugly, and I'm glad you're shining a light on it. People can read more at citizensforethics.org. You can click on the link to the 22 most corrupt members of Congress. That's called Beyond Delay. And there's a lot of other great information right there starting on the homepage. Melanie, just one more thing quickly before you go. I enjoyed many of the interviews that Joe and Valerie Wilson did in the past week on the heels of the release of Valerie's book with all those redacted pages. And I was just curious because I haven't heard what the status is of the civil suit that Crew has been managing on their behalf.
Sure. That case is still going up on appeal, and we have been waiting for the Court of Appeals to tell us what the briefing schedule is. We filed an appeal after we lost in the district court,
mm-hmm,
and now it is up to, and really this is taking months because we filed our appeal within days of losing at the district court level, and it is up to the appellate court to tell us when we should submit a brief and when the defense lawyers should submit a brief, and any day we should get that schedule, and of course as soon as we do, I will let you and all your listeners know.
Great, and stay on it. Thank you very much, Melanie Sloan from Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll talk to you next week. All right, that's it for this hour, except, well, I've set aside the rest of the time for your phone calls in the free speech zone. Grab a line and we'll talk about anything that's on your mind, any of the issues we've discussed today, or something we didn't get to. 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. Give us a call here in the free speech zone at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
And let's take a look at a big problem being reported in the San Jose area. Northbound 101 after Hellier, dump truck swerved from city streets onto the freeway. Emergency crews blocking all lanes. The dump truck actually spilt dirt all over the roadway. Cars are getting by in the center divide. Traffic slows from 85. Southbound slows from Tully. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 before the summit. A gas tanker truck, we told you about that in a couple of our last reports, still blocking the right lane there. In Santa Cruz, Branca 40 Road at Granite Creek, we have an injury crash there. Two cars blocking lanes. It appears we have fire department and paramedic crews on scene along with CHP. Get Michelin's all-new LTX A2 tires with excellent off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. Michelin.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for putting me in the passenger seat there on your drive home today. We've got lines open for you in the free speech zone. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1, then 38-573-8372. And it spells out 1-888-5-PETER-B. In so many cases. Wow, it's been quite a day, and we've been focusing on the political cowardice of Democrats. First, on allowing the nomination of Judge Michael Mukasey for Attorney General to clear the Judiciary Committee. There are two people you can blame. The West Coast Senator Dianne Feinstein and the East Coast Senator Charles Schumer of New York. They provided the votes. If they had voted on principle against this man, his name would not have left the committee. And Senator Harry Reid, the Democratic leader, said he would not permit a floor vote if the committee didn't endorse the nomination. And so over the next 14 months or so, when things go wrong at the Justice Department, remember, DeFi, and Chuck. They're the ones who caved. Then the amazing story of Dennis Kucinich. And I hope, I've got all my fingers crossed here. I hope that the risk that he has taken today pays off. Think what would happen if Pelosi is forced to acknowledge that her caucus and her constituents demand impeachment despite her protest that it's off the table. And imagine if it goes forward. I don't expect that there's time for impeachment to run its course to actually lead to a trial in the Senate and removal from office of Cheney and or Bush. But politically, the very start of an impeachment process and the kinds of results that come out from an investigation as it goes forward could make all the difference in next year's electoral cycle. It could cause Dennis Kucinich to leap past Hillary Clinton as the Democratic candidate of choice. It could change the outcome of primaries. And it could ultimately change the course of the downward slide that we're on as it comes to, as it relates to the constitutionality of our sitting government. Yes, I'm dreaming. Yes, I just shared with you my deep inner thoughts, and they are dreamlike. Reality is much tougher to face. Let's go to the phones here, line one in Sacramento. Greg, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, I'm first up here.
Yes, you are.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I called you to echo my thoughts on DiFi, but I just wanted to ask you real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you, I believe it was Thursday when I was driving home from work, and I kind of got the impression that you were just a wee bit PO'd. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes. I don't try to disguise it, Greg.
Okay. So does that mean you are coming to your senses about how you feel about Ms. Pelosi?
Well, I think what you're leading up to is whether Sheehan should challenge her, and I haven't changed my mind about that.
No, I don't mean challenge her.
I'm deeply disappointed in Pelosi, and she's flat out wrong. She is reading this situation incorrectly, and the Republicans gave her a big bitch slap upside the face today by changing their votes. And, you know, I need to research this further, because part of my problem is I work during the day and then I do the show and I catch up on the news at night. So tomorrow I'll be better informed about exactly how this evolved. But the leadership, the Democratic leadership, whoever had the gavel, permitted the vote on tabling the impeachment resolution to go on for more than an hour. And that permitted Boehner to get his troops to embarrass the Democrats by switching their votes and essentially trying to wedge the pro-impeachment folks, which is not a huge number, it maxed out at 86, against the Democratic leadership. And that never should have been permitted to happen. If Pelosi had the political smarts of a Gingrich, or even that fat boy from Illinois, Denny Hastert, she would have said, aha, the enemy is getting between me and my caucus. I cannot permit that to happen. And I'm going to release the votes, tell my members to vote their conscience, and announce that I'm getting out of the way. And if impeachment is to go forward, John Conyers has the authority to conduct those investigations and make the call. That's what I would have done if I were Nancy Pelosi today. Greg, thanks for the call. We take a break and return for more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone. Just one line open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. Brian Urban is taking your calls at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling home in the dark here on Standard Time. Good to have you listening. I've got a line open if you want to join us in the free speech zone. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B. And our website has the zippy new easy-to-use podcasts at peterbcollins.com. Just follow the link on the homepage. If you listen on a regular basis, my media consumption habits are probably kind of clear to you. I read the New York Times every day, the actual paper edition. I also read the San Francisco Chronicle, and online I read various publications from the LA Times to the Washington Post and other things that people send me or that, you know, somehow I connect up with. And in terms of television, I've got a TiVo box, and so every night when I get home, I watch the NewsHour on PBS. because it is the least commercialized and least sensational of the broadcast news programs. Still got a lot of problems. There are a lot of things missing from the PBS NewsHour. And then usually after dinner, when I can handle the screaming and the interruptions, I'll turn on Chris Matthews' Hardball Show. I do occasionally watch Keith Olbermann's Countdown. I love what Keith does, and there's always one great segment on the show every night, but there's so much tabloid trash there, and the format for people with limited attention spans doesn't appeal to me. So I'm not a regular viewer of Olbermann, but people send me clips, and so I'm quite well aware of what he's doing. New York Times today has a front page story with good news for those of us who would like to see a little more balance in the media. It's tilted so far right with the entry, of course, of the Fox News Channel that MSNBC appears to be consciously tilting more to the left. Now, these are matters of degree, and Chris Matthews is still there. Last week he was sounding like Lou Dobbs on immigration issues, and they also went to, in a strange side trip last week after the debate in Philadelphia, saying that Hillary Clinton was, deeply wounded and that, gosh, we've got a race now. And last night, Matthews debuted some new bizarre thing, power ranker or something like that, and announced that Hillary Clinton is invincible, inevitable, and everybody else ought to just sit down and shut up. But the good news is that MSNBC appears ready to cancel Tucker Carlson's show. I always carefully refer to him as that little mother, Tucker Carlson. Repeat that yourself and try not to make a mistake. But it looks like he may be axed, and it appears that they're trying to recruit Rosie O'Donnell to come on MSNBC. That's a mixed bag. I think that she was certainly outspoken on The View, and that's what has caused NBC execs to look at her. But I'm not sure it would be a net gain for our political discourse to have Rosie O'Donnell on TV every night. But, gosh, if the alternative is that little mother, Tucker Carlson, I'll take it. And it's really Keith Olbermann who is driving this, because his ratings are up about 33% in the past year. And on some nights, he beats his counterparts on the Fox News Channel. And Hardball is apparently stable. It's doing okay in the ratings. And so they are looking at perhaps adding Rosie O'Donnell. Let me know what you think about that. Would that be a plus? Is it something you would watch? Would it bring in viewers who don't ordinarily watch political news channels? Let me know what you think about that. Peter V. in Salinas, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
There you go again.
I know. I want to thank you for being the fair and balanced, the depressing, gutless Democrats balanced out by the fine people like Mr. Fine that you had on at the beginning of your program, Peter. Without those types of voices, it's just so depressing. And, Peter, my comment is, given Mulcahy's confirmation, exactly who's going to compel Dick Cheney to testify before any congressional hearing?
It'll be up to his lesbian daughter.
Oh, no. So, Peter, I'm guessing we've really seen the collapse of anything that would be called oversight. Would you agree?
I do agree. And what just steams me is, look at the egos of Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein. Why would they not drink from the cup of power and say, I've got power. I can stop this confirmation. I can send a powerful message to the White House that we are not going to genuflect anymore. And instead, what do? They sell out. And what do they get for it? Well, we don't always know. We may not know for a couple of years what kind of backroom deals DiFi made. We know she took a ride on Air Force One to the fire scenes in Southern California and had a heart-to-heart talk with Bush right after she delivered the Southwick confirmation, a lifetime appointment of a right-wing judge, racist by some accounts. And now she's back at it, undermining the Democratic leadership. Harry Reid was prepared to battle over this, and she just knocked the slats right out from under him.
And equally, Peter, why are the Democrats not rallying around Dennis Kucinich instead of scattering like cockroaches with the lights on? It just makes for the divide and conquer so easy for the Republicans.
Well, and Peter, let's use the term opportunism, okay? I believe that Dennis Kucinich created a moment today. And instead of Democrats being the opportunist who seized that moment and said, aha, he's in touch with the voters more than I am. We know that Mike Thompson read the situation and changed his vote so that he at least would be able to point to the record when people say, gosh, you didn't, you know, support impeachment. He said, well, I voted against tabling it. Take a look at the congressional record. Well, we saw opportunism by Republicans.
Right.
And what they did was seize the moment, turn the tables on Pelosi, and almost, you know, made a run of it. It would have been very interesting had the Republicans forced the debate that they didn't really want, but they said they wanted by their votes. And at minimum, we would have had some very interesting facts put on the record about the unconstitutional behavior and other law-breaking of Dick Cheney and other members of this administration. Instead, they blew it. And they allowed the Republicans to divide the Democrats again and further. And it is a net loss for Nancy Pelosi.
And it's not just that opportunity, Peter, but the Republicans showed what their constituency expects, and that's cohesive. When they voted as a block, they stuck with it. As you said, it was opportunistic, it was cohesive, and it just is kicking the Democrats when they're just so pathetic, Peter. Thank you.
You're welcome, Peter. Thanks for the call today. Arlene is next in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Arlene.
Well, yes, with the other callers, I've got some more to say.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, and I'd like to resurrect someone that has controversial opinions about him for years and years. However, he was the best, one of the better senators as far as wheeling and dealing with the Democratic Party than there ever was, and that's Lyndon Johnson.
Mm, yeah.
And he, incidentally, was the first one to support civil rights, and was the first president actually that did that. And so,
well, and
have a Lyndon Johnson in that Senate right now.
And Arlene, Lyndon Johnson was a very complicated character.
Yes, he was.
He was.
I've read three books on him, all of them different versions.
Yeah, but what you said is correct. And what I want to just amend in a friendly way is to point out that he was from the Deep South.
Right.
And for him to take on the civil rights issues, pass the Voting Rights Act and the Great Society programs, it did cost the Democrats the presidency, and it propelled Nixon into the Southern strategy that
right.
has permitted the Republican Party to pick up where Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan left off.
Right. But it's hard to know, you know, when you think about a person's character, it's hard to know how much they believed in what they were doing with respect to the gamble they were taking with respect to politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he weighed that and felt that it was a bigger issue than the politics of any party.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why he ended up the way he did, was because he did do that.
Part of it also was he was trying to address his dramatic loss of support because of the Vietnam War.
Right.
And he was looking for domestic initiatives that could help him reconnect with those who had deserted him over Vietnam.
He also did a lot for the educational system, for especially children, and did a lot there with respect to his legislation.
He also brought taping to the White House Oval Office. And, Arlene, if you ever have a chance in Austin, Texas, go to the LBJ Library.
Uh-huh.
They've got some of those recordings that he made. And it's fascinating to hear him get on the phone and twist arms and try to persuade people in that
right.
Distinguished Texas voice of his.
Right, right. And he was a very big man.
Oh, he was, with huge ears. Thanks, Arlene.
Well, I'm 82, so I'm of this whole era, you know, from the Depression on up. And but what I'm seeing now, and frankly, I have to tell you, that the only reason why I'm a Democrat is because of JFK and when he ran against Nixon. And I have to tell you an interesting story. We lived in Seattle at the time, and we had been Republicans all that time because our families were, you know, back east.
Right.
And so JFK came on the TV, and Nixon did, and the speeches and so on and so forth. And I weighed both. I thought, oh, my God. there's something here that I've been doing, you know, by rote in my voting, and I need to start to pay more attention. And so what I did when I voted for JFK. And when I came home, my husband said, well, did you vote for Nixon? I said, no. He said, well, you canceled out my vote. I said, no, you canceled out mine.
Arlene, thanks a lot. Great to have you listening. I appreciate the call. Now to Tim in Eureka. Welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to publicly make my complaint against Nancy Pelosi because I think that she's obstructing truth and justice by taking the positions that she's taking. I mean, this, if we have an investigation, this information would be put out over the airways. More of our public would be informed. And it seems to me like she's doing everything she can to prevent that from happening.
Well, I don't understand it. Because as I have explained, I believe that standing for principles, standing for the Constitution, and confronting the law-breaking and unconstitutional behavior of the Bush administration can only benefit the Democrats. And by ducking it, it muddles the picture. It renews the idea that Ralph Nader articulated, falsely in my view, that there isn't a dime's bit of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And it leaves many progressives who are the most active and well-informed members of the Democratic Party or potential Democratic voters. You know, I'm registered as an independent. It makes people like us sit back and say, they're not worth my support. It's not worth it for me to bust my ass and go out there, register voters, raise money, raise consciousness, and try to drive people into the Democratic Party as the only hope of unseating the Republicans. It deflates the base, and it just does not make sense to me based on any political calculus that I can summon.
I agree. Totally. Thank you for articulating that.
Okay. Great to have you listening. Thanks for the call today. Now to Margie in Oregon. What town, Margie?
Well, actually, Port Orford.
Great. Good to have you tuned in today.
Did you want feedback regarding Kucinich conference call?
You know, we tried to connect up to the conference call yesterday, and it was overloaded, so we didn't get to hear any of it. What did you hear?
Yeah, I got through, but I still didn't get to hear anything.
Oh, really?
It didn't work out well, at least from my experience. Well, what happened was, as you can imagine, with all these hundreds or thousands, whatever, of people calling in, you know, ordinarily a call is a two-way speech.
Right.
And so they couldn't have all these people talking, right?
Sure.
So there was this kind of guy that was playing the role of the greeter. So he would welcome people and then ask them to press star number six to mute their phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of comical. You could hear all these people continually pressing star six, star six, star six. And then then when they were getting ready to put Kucinich on, they evidently had some switch they could flip to mute everybody. But anyway, then when Kucinich started talking, it was like this very faint voice way in the distance. I couldn't understand a word he said. Then there was this other guy that was part of the situation that was talking to this greeter, and one of them said, what in the hell went wrong?
Well, I knew they used a thing called freeconference.com or something. I've used it before, and it's nice for a handful of people, but I don't think it's set up to handle the kind of traffic that they certainly encountered.
Yes.
I got to run to a break, Margie. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. More comments in a moment. You can grab a line here in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Rock Rolling Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. This week on the show, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. Jim has an incredible opportunity going on right now with an elegant high-rise condo in downtown Chicago. If you're looking to build wealth, listen this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Rolling Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or check us out online at rockrollingrealestate.com. Rock Rolling Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been state of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
And there is the world-famous traffic music. Let's get to it. All right, so what are we going to talk about this hour? We're going to mention our problem that we continue to hit you with. It was a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 for Sugarloaf. Everything's been cleared. We had a stalled truck there. Everything's looking pretty good at this point. Really going to mention the Santa Cruz northbound 1 at M-Line, the off-ramp still closed in the summer of 2008. For the most part, not a lot of problems. We're going to hit you with some slow traffic, it appears, northbound and southbound 101. Reports of on and off traffic as far as slow traffic out of Salinas, northbound 101, also a little bit slow from San Miguel Canyon to the turnoff there. Eastbound 25, you may encounter some pockets of slow stuff from Gilroy into Hollister. And this report brought to you by Diet Right.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Arlene from Santa Cruz invoked the 60s, the LBJ years. Remember this one about Abraham, Martin, and John?
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Just looked around and he's gone.
We're in the Free Speech Zone, and Paul in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City, KSAC, joins us. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good, thanks, when I don't think about the Democrats.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, we had a hell of a show today, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I am a certified news junkie. If I'm not watching cable news or listening to talk radio, I'm obviously doing something very important.
Yeah.
And MSNBC happens to be a favorite of mine. You really disturbed me with this Rosie O'Donnell thing. I mean, I just don't think she's appropriate at all. But what I wanted to ask...
Now, okay, but with that in mind, Paul... As a replacement for Tucker Carlson.
that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. In a world where we have Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Laura Ingraham, Hannity, et cetera, et cetera, how do you find time to criticize people like Tucker Carlson and Lou Dobbs? They don't make up the stories. I believe that they believe in what they're talking about. They're completely different from, the Fox crowd or anything like that. I just don't understand why you would pick on Tucker Carlson, a guy who's completely critical of the neocon agenda.
Well, he is against the war, but he's a very smarmy guy, and when his agenda dominates. And so when he has a guest on the program, He will undercut them and, you know, insert his what I call smarmy remarks. And, yes, he's opposed to the war. He has criticized the Bush administration on certain levels. But he is relentless in hammering the Democrats, even in situations occasionally when they're right.
Well, this is true, but at least he has them on and he lets them speak. And, you know, and there's just so much ugly stuff going on the other side.
Let me respond on Lou Dobbs. He's a complicated guy, and my criticism of him is his jingoistic hard line on immigration. And I was dinging him earlier by comparing Chris Matthews, who last week was coming off like a Lou Dobbs, a real hardliner on immigration issues.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, as far as on immigration, it's not like he's doing the conservative commentator, Pat. Anyway, he's not attacking it as a cultural issue. He believes that it's unfair to the workforce. It's unfair to employers that choose not to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I have a lot of trouble understanding why it's seen as a liberal cause, why we are supporting illegal immigration. I mean, considering the fact that, you know, the median income for Americans hasn't gone up in years.
Mm-hmm. Well, my issues are that, yes, we are fully entitled to secure our borders, and I don't have a problem with that as a matter of policy. My issue is that immigration reform is mostly defined as keeping Mexicans and other Spanish-speaking people from coming in over our southern border. That is part of the problem, but it's not the entire problem. And they rarely, if ever, talk about white Europeans or Asians who come here and overstay their visas. And they tend to reduce the problem, like Pete Wilson did in the campaign back in the 90s, to brown people oozing over our southern border. And that represents this clear and present danger, when in fact they are responding to the economic incentives that our nation provides. And if we're really serious about dealing with the problems of immigration, we have to deal with the magnets that we offer that bring people here. And that starts with the lenient approach to employers who hire undocumented workers.
Absolutely, positively. There's a lot of legislation out there right now that they're looking to enforce the laws. They don't even need any new laws. If they would just enforce the laws that they had.
I hear you. And Paul, the other thing is this
$1,000 a day to employ somebody like that.
This whole thing, the whole thing becomes a vehicle for hateful people who jump on board with people who have a thoughtful approach to immigration reform and drive them into the Tancredo zone, which is a white supremacist, nationalistic, jingoistic point of view. And that's where I draw the line and say that many of these people, and I don't watch Lou Dobbs every night, so I could be wrong about the nuances of his positions, but what I have seen puts him in league with those who are perhaps much more hateful than he is, but I don't hear him separating himself from the Tancredos and the other hate mongers out there.
Well, if you listen, for one thing, I've heard some talk on. Hello?
Yeah, the music is playing because Trigger's
right,
here
right.
to take me out into the sunset. Paul, thank you very much. We'll talk again. And thanks for your calls today. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Our archives and podcasts are at peterbcollins.com. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in and join us.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast.
Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. People send money to televangelists for a variety of reasons, but supporting the preacher's lavish lifestyles is probably not among them. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports Senate investigators are taking a hard look at what goes on.
Joyce Meyer Ministries got one of six letters from the Senate Finance Committee.
Welcome to the show today. I hope and pray that you're really going to enjoy it.
Iowa Republican Charles Grassley says the televangelists may be misusing their tax-exempt status to live an opulent lifestyle, including private jets and Rolls-Royce cars.
We're looking at this from a legal standpoint, not anything to do with doctrine.
But Ole Anthony of the Trinity Foundation sees it differently.
These people are giving the cause of God an extremely bad name, like God rewards greed.
Grassley's demanding answers by December 6th. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Other targets of the investigation include Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, and Paula White. Those who've responded deny any wrongdoing. Two state houses are at stake in today's off-year election. In Kentucky, Republican Governor Ernie Fletcher has lost his bid for a second term, defeated by Democrat Steve Beshear. Republican Haley Barbour is heavily favored to win another term as governor of Mississippi. For President Bush, one win and one loss in Congress today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the Senate Judiciary Committee approved Michael Mukasey for Attorney General.
Most committee Democrats voted against Mukasey because of his refusal to flatly say waterboarding is illegal torture, which even some of the Republicans who voted for him said is clearly the case. He won approval because two Democrats did vote for him. One was New York's Chuck Schumer, who says the country badly needs a new Attorney General with integrity and independence, and rejecting Mukasey would be a mistake.
All the work we have done to pressure Attorney General Gonzalez to resign would be undone in a moment.
The full Senate is expected to confirm Judge Mukasey next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Later, the House voted overwhelmingly for the $23 billion water resources bill. It's the first override of a presidential veto. Mr. Bush says the measure is fiscally irresponsible. TV's Desperate Housewives are desperate for lines. Due to the writer's strike, the hit show suspended production today, as did at least half a dozen sitcoms, some of them on CBS. Correspondent Manuel Gallegos says there's been no movement.